At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Granddad Business with Aaron Caliber.
That's my dad.
Hello!
Underpants?
That is hilarious.
Shut your mouth, dude. Rate and review this podcast or my daddy will go into a deep depression.
Going down business with Aaron Cliver.
Boom. Welcome to Grown Dad Business. This is Aaron Cliver. You know, this week at Grown Dad Business, I got another awesome guest. Last week, you can check that episode out. Pretty much hung out with my kids, and I talked about my cruise, and my family beatboxed, and that was a good time. And this week, I'm with a really good friend of mine. But first, before we start, see how I get that? See how I do that? See how I do that, Chase?
Good.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah, dude. But first, I want to give a shout out to my sponsor, Goods and Evil, goodsandevil.com. They have awesome, just designed shirts, awesome original designs, movies, horror. I love it. They also have a line of vegan shirts. They're really into that. Yeah,
I don't even know what that is.
I mean, some people don't eat meat for health reasons or for animal reasons. And that's cool. I mean, that's fine. I mean, you know, I get it. Yeah. It's fine. So amazing designers, really awesome. I'm favorable. Does that sound right?
Continue.
I love the horror and movie shirts.
Yes.
I always tell people
Crystal Lake shirt.
Come on, bro. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
It's Jason nice. Listens to the podcast.
It's nice.
But it's spectacular. Go on goodsandevil.com. You can save 10%. Off of any order at goodsandevil.com. Follow on Facebook, Instagrams, whatever. They always got great stuff. Check it out, goodsandevil.com. Also, booyah, if you want to see me live, go to aaronclyber.com. You know how to spell my name. But I'm going to a couple places. I'm going to be at the Limestone Comedy Festival in a week or so. I'm also going to be at some Looney Bin Comedy Clubs again this summer. I'll be in Oklahoma City. I will be back in Little Rock. I will be in Michigan. Will I? Wait, am I going to Michigan? I should go to aaronclyber.com and check my own calendar. And if you're in Pittsburgh this summer, we have some amazing shows already lined up. My best friend, Danny Palumbo, who will be on this podcast in the next couple episodes, we came up together doing stand-up. Just like the first week we started doing stand-up, we were like, What's up? You doing comedy? I was like, what's up? Yeah, cool, man. Do you like the Beastie Boys? Yeah, I love the Beastie Boys. Cool, man. Let's be best friends. Like, that's pretty much how it happens. That's pretty much how best friends should happen. And then we went to the garage and did karate. But Danny Palumbo moved to Austin for quite a couple years. Yeah. He won Funniest in Austin in 2015. It's a huge competition because Austin's an amazing comedy town. And he's coming back this summer. He's going to be here all summer. It's like my friend like moved. It's like my best friend. I'm like 11 or 12. And my best friend came home from like boarding school. Like, I'm really excited. And all summer, June, July, and August, at Arcade Comedy Theater in Pittsburgh. Let me see if I can get this right. June 17th, July 22nd, and August 19th. 8 p.m., me and Danny are doing a show called Danny and Aaron Bring the Heat. I'm not playing with you. It's called Danny and Aaron Bring the Heat. And we're bringing some of we're bringing some stand-up comic friends from around the country to bring the heat because a lot of people are traveling this summer, and we're bringing some really cool comics, those three, you know, once a month in the summertime. And then at 10 p.m., we are doing a comic wars with those road comics. So check that out, arcadecomedytheater.com. Go to comicwarsshow.com. And I'm going to lead in with that. I'm going to lead in with comic wars. to my guest this week, and it's kind of a special guest, and but I'll explain that more. My guest is Jason Clark, my good friend Jason Clark. I just realized that you are like one of my true grown man friends.
Yes.
You have children.
Yes.
You have a mortgage.
I have adult children.
Yeah, you have a like
adult.
Like adult children, yes. like with a real driver's license.
Yes, like yeah. A job, like a real job. She had a new first ever job. She's going to be a nurse. She's 21 years old.
You have a 21-year-old daughter.
I do, and my son turns 17 in another week and a half.
That's so, Jason Clark, yes. Man.
And I'm not 60.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
You, it's funny, but your wife... And yourself, like my wife and I, we were married when we were 22, mm-hmm. and we had kids when we were 26.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. You know, yeah, we were like, well, let's do this.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
But Jason, the reason why I brought Jason up is that, and you know, you're thinking like, I've never heard of Jason Clark. Jason Clark's not famous. No. Well, guys,
no,
he is because he's a dad. He's famous in two children's eyes.
Yes.
See how I spun that?
At least one of them.
Yeah, I know, right? But no, Jason is my sidekick / scorekeeper on Comic Wars. Mm-hmm. And if you guys don't know what Comic Wars is, this is not the Comic Wars episode, but Comic Wars is a stand-up comedy game show that I host at Arcade Comedy Theater. And it takes three comedians versus three comedians and pits them into different challenges and games. Yeah. And it gets crazy.
Yeah, it's incredible to watch. You know, the test of the different muscles. You know, the comedy muscles, the mental right. muscles.
They do like impressions.
Yeah,
there's like a crowd work round. There's mm-hmm. a roast round.
Yeah,
there's a lot of different things. But yeah, if you haven't checked that out, I mean, most of the shows sell out every month, yeah. which is pretty rad. We just had one that sold out last week. It was a lot of fun. Two bachelorette parties.
Yes, two of them.
That was good times.
It seems to be a bachelorette party kind of thing.
Yeah, it is kind of fun.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah. Absolutely.
But Jason, originally, like, I had somebody just keeping score. And then one of the owners of Arcade Comedy Theater was Jethro Nolan. And he's a really funny guy. Him and I have done a couple, like, shticks together.
Yeah.
And so... He was like my scorekeeper and kind of was like the mad landlord.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I was like, oh, I'll get Jason to fill in. Jethro can't make it.
I was sitting in the audience one night in the seat that we always sit in. We always sit at, you know, right there.
See, you remember the story. I don't.
Oh, absolutely. And we just sort of.
But I was improvising, so I don't remember.
Yeah, right.
That's why it has to be cataloged on tape.
Yeah, it was pre-show and you just came up and you said, hey, man, keep score. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen the show once or twice.
Yeah.
Seen Jethro do it. And I'm just like, yeah, I can add.
Yeah.
We'll make this work. You know, what the hell?
Yeah. And now you are an integral part of the show.
Yes.
You are.
Yeah.
You are.
Absolutely.
Like, dude, and I
don't
think,
do anything halfway. I mean, it's like, I'm in. Aaron Kleiber wants to be.
If you're keeping score.
Yes.
You're going to keep score.
Oh, it's, yes. I'm carrying the one.
Like, and then, you know, we took, you know, I was throwing out beers to people. He took it up a notch. And started throwing beers and boxed Pinot Gris.
Yeah, yeah.
We're officially sponsored by the Gris.
Yeah, by Fernando, I think is the
Fernando
brand.
Fernando Box
I go
Wine.
With.
Fernando, holler at your boy.
Which came off of an Aaron Kleiber bit because, you know, the
joke that I do about
the Pinot Gris. And
moms love the Pinot Gris at midnight. It makes the moms go, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. So,
it's so dumb.
Yeah, it is. But it works. So it's so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So we pour some Pinot Gris. We cocktail it. We shotgun some beers across the stage.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting, I mean, it's climbed and grown and it's a fun show.
It's a whirlwind. Like, a lot of times I don't remember what happened.
Yeah,
because it's just... I'm basically improvising through a game show.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
But I know Jason, you kind of showed up at Arcade Comedy Theater in Pittsburgh
mm-hmm.
a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And started doing improv classes.
Yeah.
And started doing improv.
Yeah.
And now you're like the leaderboard director or whatever. What is that?
Yeah.
What do you do now?
So, about two years ago, the arcade came up with a leaderboard.
Right.
Because they wanted to recognize some individuals that were doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff. and things like that. And sort of they had a vision that it would be something that it would, you know, become task oriented and there'd be things to help grow the theater.
Yeah.
And then this past year they wanted to reboot it and they wanted to have a person that was basically in between the directors and the leaderboard to sort of facilitate what needs to happen.
Communications facilitation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I
get it. It's on my resume. So they've seen that. And yeah, so that's what it is. So it's about how do we grow the theater into the future,
right,
and how do we, you know, take all these talented people that come together to make this theater the great theater
and
that
it is. A lot of people, I mean, I talk about Arcade Comedy Theater all the time on here, and also the movie review podcast with Sean Collier called You Can't Handle the Truth. Bingo. Truth podcast on Twitter.
yeah, I will not go see a movie until I've
handled the truth podcast.com.
Got to check it out.
But no, we always talk about Arcade, and I just wanted to like tell people that. And so now it's like, you know, you're this part of this show, and why I say that you're kind of a special guest, because I'm finding it harder and harder to have guests, like famous guests on, or known comedians, or because I'm on the road a lot and I'm headlining now.
Right.
So it's not like I'm on the road with, you know, featuring at a lot of clubs now. And I mean, you know, occasionally, like I'll do a podcast with any, you know, comedian, you know, whatever, sure. if they, you know, vibe with me, you know, they might have kids or something like that, you know, but, you know, it's not like I want to change the whole format of the podcast, but, occasionally, you know, I got to do a podcast by myself or with my kids, and Jason is a dad.
Yeah.
And Jason and I get along very well and we laugh a lot. And, this, you know, I'm going to bring Jason on into the dad cave because we're into the dad cave. I'm going to bring
There's a lot of dad power.
Yeah. Do you keep turning your microphone off?
Off.
Okay. Okay.
I'm being considerate.
No, that's fine. I was like, are you turning it off like you're on a CB? What are you on a CB? Yep, I'm a dad. Over.
Yep, that's how we play. You know, I'm actually upstairs in Aaron's house and we're on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Aaron, part of the arcade.
We are on Captain America Civil War walkie-talkies that we got at Sam's Club.
not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. We can be. I mean, sure. Holler at your boy. That's what I say. Every time we mention a product. Anytime you mention a product, holler at your boy.
Holler at your boy. All
right. Hey, Sam's Club, holler at your boy. just in case. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because I, you know, who knows? Like, I like Lamborghinis. Hey, Lamborghini, holler at your boy.
Holler at your boy.
Yeah. But yeah, so Jason is going to join me every once in a while when I don't have a guest. Does that sound bad?
It does in a way, but I'm okay with it. You know?
I'm like, I got this guy.
Yeah. John Heffron's not available, so we're going to bring in Jason Clark this
week. You better
week.
Watch your mouth. I apologize.
No,
okay.
Love John Heffron.
But I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. I need somebody.
Yes.
I need. What did I say to you? I go, I need somebody to talk to.
Yeah. I can't just stare at the wall.
Do it alone.
Yeah. I can't.
And then I'm talking at my kids because I have to talk to a person.
Just sit
and my
there.
Daughter's staring at me there. With like, she's like, you're talking through my head. You're talking through my face right now.
Yeah.
I just needed like eyes to look at and have a conversation. And I can't do that to my kids every week.
Yeah.
They think
so. If I can be, if I can be that, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, we already like, you know, talked about like, oh, we could talk about topics and, you know, we could bring up stuff like, you know, Chewbacca mom.
Chewbacca mom is a topic that
we're not going to bring up.
We're not
going to
talk.
I can't.
We're not.
I
it's
can't.
Too fresh.
I can't. It's too soon.
It's too soon. It is.
I
it
cannot
is.
Talk about Chewbacca mom. I can't.
Yeah.
I made a Facebook post that was a joke. All right. I'm going to talk about it, but I'm not going to talk about it. You know, you could do that.
You can do that.
I made a Facebook post that said, guys, I'm really excited. I'm going on a 20-city tour opening for Chewbacca Mom.
Holler
Hashtag
at your boy.
Blessed.
Holler at your boy. I mean, can we sponsorship? Can she be our sponsor?
No, she cannot be our sponsor. We can get sponsored by Star Wars Disney and hang out with J.J. Abrams for no reason. Sorry, wait. We're not talking about what we're talking about.
We're not going to break that down.
We're talking about it, but we're not talking about it. And then, like, the people that believed me, like, I thought it was really funny,
yeah,
you know, how famous she got so quickly. and like me making a joke as a comedian, like, yo, I'm going to be opening for her. And like, it seriously got more likes than like one of the birth of my children.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I mean, because I was with you when it happened, you know, yeah. when you put the post out and, yeah. And you, I just watched you just turn into this maniacal rage machine.
But when I started seeing people as a comedian, okay, I'm talking about it, but I'm not talking.
We're not
about
talking
it.
About.
It. Okay, but as a comedian, when you see like something like that, the people believe that someone like Chewbacca Mom is going on a 20-city tour, yeah. and that I'm right. opening for her. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of like pride and hard work and like.
So there's like two. Just, so there's like two sides to that, because that sort of led into a conversation where we started talking about, okay, so what is the future of stand up in 20 years?
Right.
Because when you have YouTube sensations that yeah. are packing out VIP meet and greets at the yeah. Improv,
yeah,
and that's a thing for the
Improvs for, and Funny for the, Bones yeah. are like booking reality stars,
right? So
it, and social media stars,
yeah. So there's one part of that story that I felt was very telling to what society looks at of saying,
yes.
that could be a viable show.
So it's like all the people that were like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And I'm yeah. like, I hate you.
But the other half of me was just like, do you not know this guy? Like, really? You think that Aaron's going that route? Like, come
yeah,
on.
And
no.
For me, it was more like, do you really think, like people really believe that she was doing that?
Yeah. But it doesn't surprise me that people would think that she would.
That's the thing. That's what made me even more mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, it was funny that I also put a comment in the thread. You can go on my Facebook page. It's a personal Facebook page. I don't accept everybody. I'm sorry. I got kids and babies and stuff,
yeah.
even though I take pictures and put them online everywhere. But anyway, but I put one part where I said, I'm watching people, like how fast people were liking it and commenting on it. And I was like, there are people liking this post that have not liked one of my posts right. in 5 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it makes me so
yeah.
angry.
Yeah.
That the people that haven't even right. interacted with me in years
right.
are liking this post about the Chewbacca mom.
Well, especially if like, you think of your life in the last 5 years and all the milestones that have happened.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Your first headlining gig in your own home club, like that weekend back in March.
Touring and
it's
around
like,
the country.
Absolutely. With all these
television,
people, babies.
National
babies.
Commercials.
You had babies.
Babies.
They didn't like the baby. No, but they liked Chewbacca mom.
I put hashtag Chewbacca
yeah,
mom. And
boy.
That's what
no.
makes me, right. No, don't, no.
No, that doesn't work.
Dude.
Grown Wookie,
we talked about it.
Grown Wookie business.
Dude, get out of here with that. That was so funny, dude. Grown Wookie business, dude. Welcome to Grown Wookie business.
Okay, we're not talking about
I got a mean Chewbacca, dude.
You do? That was dude. Good.
It's not bad, right? I know, it's good.
It worked for me.
It's good. Anyway,
let's not talk about it.
No. So Jason Clark, what... we're getting into the biographical section of this.
Shoot. It's open. It's an open book.
Now, for a while, you've been doing stand-up.
Yeah.
You've been doing some shows.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing stand-up. But you started stand-up after you were doing improv.
Well, no, I actually...
Oh, you tried.
Yeah,
to do stand-up
I did. I played around with it a little bit. I was at the arcade. I was sitting at the arcade, and I remember the first time I was there. The first time I was at the arcade was for this Gilda Radner event.
Oh,
and
right.
It was, you know, and that was the first time I ever seen Missy and yeah. Abby, and they did Rosanna, Dana, Anna, and it yeah. blew my mind. Like, yeah. I'm sitting there, and I tell them that all the time. It's like, so that was my introduction to the theater.
Right.
And I was sitting in the lobby, and we were waiting for my wife's cousin to come out.
Yeah.
And I seen that they offered stand up classes.
Yeah.
And my wife's cousin was a stand up. And
yeah.
she's like, hey, I do this monthly show. I'll give you 5 minutes and put 5 minutes together. And so that's where it started. And I just sat down
right.
and I had always sort of kept track of notes. Everything that I talk about is my life, because that's all I'm not creative that way, where I'm going to sit
right.
there and come up with some stuff about political things. That's just not who I am. All I know is what I've lived, and there's enough humor from my childhood.
Sure.
And I haven't even tapped into that darkness. So.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
How that works.
So,
and either have I.
Yeah, that's the scary thing. You know, that's
it's
just like
crazy.
It's, yeah,
I've had comedians tell me like, because I really mostly talk about my wife and kids.
Yeah,
and I haven't even touched.
Yeah.
Like my childhood,
mm-hmm.
and middle school, and high school, and college.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done a lot of goofy stuff. I've done a lot of goofy, funny things, have a lot of funny stories. I have told a couple of them on stage.
Yeah.
And I haven't got into, like, you know, my childhood with the history of abuse and things. Sure. Like, and comedians talk about that stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going... I think I'm going, like, in order, reverse order.
Yeah, you're doing a Jonathan Winters. You're doing the,
yeah.
You're doing the backwards baby
Jonathan
thing.
Winters, Holler at Your Boy?
Yeah, no, can't.
But, like, yeah, no, like, now I want to, like, I want to start talking about, like, college stories and then high school stories.
Yeah, so what I started doing is just sort of figuring out the tie together. But the thing with me was I started doing that, and I was having a blast at it and a lot of fun. And then I wanted to understand improv and how would that help me feel more comfortable on stage and those types of things. And the arcade was there, and I took a class with Christy Nolan and did the Improv 101. And then on a whim, they were like, why don't you audition for a, you know, for a team, for a house team? And I'm like, I've never been on a audition in my life. I'm not a, I'm not a theater kid. I'm not that, you know, I wasn't that, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And they're like, well, what the hell, for the experience. And I walked in, and there's 14 people at a table, and they're going to have you audition in front of them. And it was kind of nerve-wracking. It was interesting. And I got cast, and we went from there. And I did that for a year, and I realized that, you know, what I really love to do is just be able to stand up in front of a room full of people and tell stories. Yeah. You know, and that's where it went. So from there, we, you know, we move on and try to figure that whole piece out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're part of Comic Wars history, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's funny because, like, you and I bonded because, like, we've both went through a bunch of stuff. Like, tell me, like, have you always been a funny dude, like a goofy?
Yeah. I was always, I knew how to push that.
You seem like that guy. Like, like, I know that you know, you're, you know, a manager at a huge, like, store, and you've always worked in that, in, like, big retail.
Yeah.
And you know, when I got to know you, I'm like, yeah, you're that guy. Like, you're like that fun manager.
Yeah. I mean, it started, I mean, I would push teachers to the brink. Like, I'd get them right to where the point where I'd get them to the point where they were so pissed at me, but they were so funny that they just, there's nothing they could, there was just nothing.
They
was just like, you know what? That was wrong. But damn it, that was funny.
I would get kicked out of class. They'd be like, I'm kicking you out because I can't have you in here because you're just making everybody laugh.
Yeah, and that's how it always was.
It's almost like, I'm kicking you out of class because you're killing.
Yeah. Absolutely. I can't have it become infectious. And next thing I know, I've got five more in your class just like it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't like, you know, it was borderline disruptive, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was never mean to teachers.
No.
I was never.
Utmost respect. I would never.
Like, you ever see those people like, oh, F you, and, like, throw stuff at teachers?
No,
and, like, never do that.
No,
that's insane.
No, I mean, because, I mean, I went to school during, you know, they could beat the hell out of you.
Yeah.
You know, then.
I came in right after that, I think.
I remember when it went out. Like,
really?
When it stopped.
Like, stop beating kids?
Yes. I remember. And listen, I had a buddy. We went to this school, so... We were an experiment, basically, in seventh grade. They took in my school district and put all of what was always our school district. There were two middle schools, two junior highs is what they were then, an east and a west side.
Right.
And it was like east side, west side. Like, you hated the people on the
Sharks
west side.
Sharks and Jets?
Oh, absolutely.
I love
east side, west side. Well, they put us all. You came out of sixth grade, and they put us all into this one time, seventh grade, in one school. And it was this old, old piece of shit school.
That sounds like my middle school.
It was a nightmare.
What they did.
And that was the last year there was what they call capital corporal punishment, where they could beat the hell out of you in school, but you had to have a sign.
Capital punishment.
I don't know. I think it's corporal. I don't know. They called it something, right? But anyways, listen to me. Hold on.
Yeah.
So they could still do that then, but they had to have a signed note from your parent. So the parent had to give permission for them to beat the hell out of you. Well, my parent, my mom wouldn't sign. She said, listen, you call me and I'll handle it.
Right.
If he's ever to the point where you feel you need to hit him. My best friend, who was always stirring up stuff, makes fun of this girl in gym class. Gym teacher takes him up, and we had the old stage in the multi-purpose room in this old Hoosiers gym. It was a Hoosiers gym. The old clock with the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, do they have a fence over the clock?
Yes. Yeah.
It's the best.
Takes him up on the stage. Makes us, our whole class, line up in front and watch him as he beat him with a wiffle ball bat.
This is great.
That's the world that like you were in.
Did he
like,
make him pull his pants down or anything?
No.
But he just
beat him. No. Yeah, he beat him on his back side with a wiffle ball bat.
The next year.
Now listen, folks. I'm not talking. This wasn't 1960. This was 1986, 87.
Right.
Was when I was in seventh grade, and then after that, eighth grade, there was no more of that stuff.
I was in kindergarten.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Okay.
It is what it is. We connect.
So he beat him with a, and it was like,
that's what we do. Okay, back to gymnastics. Like it was over, and everyone back to stretching. Like it was.
Dude, a wiffle ball was a good whooping stick.
Oh yeah,
because like it's like doesn't hurt, but it does.
But these teachers had like paddles in their room with drill holes in them, so that you knew like this could happen. This was real. Awesome. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Sixth Street in Irwin. It was Sixth Street School in Irwin, Pennsylvania. Oh yeah.
Could you imagine now like the kids like on their phone in class be like, "Well, I'm coming up to the front of class. I'm going to paddle you."
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't hit my kids at all.
No.
But I also feel like there's a point where you don't have to. Like I feel like I don't have to like discipline my kids physically. Plus coming from a history of abuse as a kid, like it's just something I never ever want my kids to look at me and fear me. In a physical harm way.
The respect is where you want that to
like
lie.
Like when people always say, I've said before, like, you know, I don't want to get all scriptural, but there is Hebrew talking about the fear of God.
Yeah.
And the fear of God is not like, ooh, I'm scared, it's a ghost. It's more of this respect and awe.
Absolutely. And, the sheer power of what can happen.
Right.
Absolutely.
Or it's just this reverence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, kids having that for their parents, that they don't want to misbehave because they respect them in a way as their protector and provider. Right. And, you know.
And I'm in no way ever going to tell anyone like this is the idiot's guide to how to raise a child.
No.
And, hey, what you do is what
some
you do.
Some kids spank their kids and, you know, whatever.
Hey,
I don't agree with, you know, beating your kids.
No. And I wasn't raised in that environment.
Yeah.
My mother would do the old, you know, it's a Pittsburgh mom thing, you know, threaten you with, you know, whatever her weapon of choice would be. My mom's was a green fly swatter, plastic fly swatter.
Dude, my mom she would pull out that. Anything
she,
and hit me with it.
Oh, she didn't have a go-to.
My
she
mom
just
beat
whatever
my
was
ass. My mom, but also it's like when we ended up, you know, we moved away from an abusive stepdad.
Yeah.
When I was like 9 or 10. So by the time I was 13, I was probably 5'11", 6 foot.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mom, like, she's this little, you know, sweet little blonde lady, and she'd have to beat my ass.
Yeah.
She would get anything.
Yeah.
She would get any tool with a handle near her. I mean, she would pull blinds off the wall and wrap them up. I'm not kidding. My mom was wild. Dude, my mom was wild. She would grab
she's
a
like,
lamp.
I'm going to take this blind.
I swear to God.
Oh, mama, not the verticals.
I remember her busting like tubes of like brand new tubes of Christmas wrapping paper. Dude,
with the wrapping paper still on it. That's solid.
That's solid. Oh yeah.
Oh, please.
She would pull out a wrapping paper tube, still like
still in the
sealed,
plastic. Still
in the plastic, dude.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, a good inch of wrapping paper.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Whacking you. Yeah. I mean, but you know, I just I feel like if you raise your kids a certain way, you're not gonna have to like hit them.
Yeah.
You're not gonna have to like beat them into you know, obeying you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now it's whatever.
So like, growing up, like, what do you think made you funny? Like, how did
that?
Your dad was a funny dude?
My dad was an incredibly
funny,
funny
dads,
storyteller.
Right? Call it your boy, funny dads.
Yeah. He was a storyteller, and that's where I, you know.
Really?
His ability to just walk into a room and just take the room over.
Oh, really? He was that guy?
He was that guy.
What was your dad's name?
My dad's name was Bill.
So Bill would
grew
be
up
like,
as Ace. He was Ace out of Braddock. You know what I mean?
You're from Pittsburgh, Ace out of Braddock.
Ace out of Braddock. He was
Ace out of Braddock.
He was the money runner. that he would run from bar to bar with a brown paper bag with the cash in it.
So he was a guy where a bunch of guys are standing around drinking a beer, smoking a cigarette.
Hey, kid.
He's like, oh, you wouldn't believe this guy today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great. Yeah, that guy.
Wild Bill, Ace, whatever you want to call him. Snowball was his later
name. Oh, wow.
But Dad was a funny guy. And that's, you know, but I also grew up like, for me, it was always about, I couldn't go to bed as a child until I seen Johnny Carson's monologue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I
did that with, honestly, I did that with Letterman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would sneak out. I would sneak out as a child, and I would hide it so I thought they couldn't see me.
Right.
To the point where Dad was like, okay, get up here. And it became a thing that I was allowed to stay up. I sit on the couch with him, and I'd watch Letterman. I'd watch Carson's monologue, and then I'd get to go to bed.
Right.
And then there was SNL, and then SNL. And SNL was just like, if I got to stay up and get to see SNL. And then there was Fridays. That was another great skit.
A really good friend. A couple good friends of mine wrote on that.
Phenomenal.
From Pittsburgh.
Yeah, phenomenal show. Fridays. SCTV was another one.
Yeah.
So I was always like watching those types of things and always just found, you know. And early on, I mean, I think, and now it's kind of like, oh, whatever. But when I first ever saw Bill Cosby himself.
Oh, yeah.
I was done.
I got every one of his albums right over there.
I was done. I was just like, oh my goodness. I mean, this was just the watching a story unfold and him tell a story to me, just a man with
still
a chair.
Still one of the best stand-up storytellers of all time.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I've always gravitated towards that, you know? So it's, so my dad was a funny guy. I mean, I don't know family beyond that.
Right.
I've never met my grandparents on my dad's side.
Yeah.
I've never met my grandfather on my mom's side. Mm. I know my grandmother somewhat. Quick one here.
Right,
I get a text from my brother a couple weeks ago on a Friday and says, hey, Graham died on Tuesday. So it's kind of interesting. I got a text from my brother on a Friday telling me that my grandmother died on Tuesday. Just a very weird moment. I was in a meeting at work.
Like not part of the family, kind of like.
Yeah. Well, it was just, I mean, things were weird. Things were weird. You know, the upbringing, you know, I was raised in, you know, suburb of Pittsburgh and normal suburban life, you know, flying around bicycles and all that good stuff. But then as we got older, things got weird.
Really?
You know, things got weird. I was thrown out at 19.
Yeah.
Homeless for a stint. Living buddy's house, you know, at his parents' house for a little bit until we got on our feet with my brother. And, you know, at 19 and everything was about me going to college.
For sure.
For my whole life. It was, you're going to go to college, you're going to be a school teacher.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to be. Ever since I was in kindergarten, I'd be a school teacher. And then at 19, you come home after your freshman year of college and mom went over the deep end and that was it. Just get out of the house. And it was time to start living and figuring out from there. So.
Are your parents still alive?
Yes, they are. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't want to talk about them too much.
No.
I don't think Ace listens to the podcast.
No. And I don't think mom would listen to something I was on anyways. But that's whatever. That's a whole other thing. But you know what? I look back on it and it's a great, it's a great journey. It's a cool journey. It's a cool journey and it's kind of chopped up, I know. But, you know, it was a cool childhood. Me and my brother's 5 years older than me.
And that helps a lot.
Yes.
I always, like, with anybody I talk to, because I always dig into that. I always like to dig into how comedians were raised or anybody funny, how they were. Mm-hmm. And it's always like they had an older sibling. They had 9 siblings or they had tragedy.
Yeah.
But you had a little strife and some funny family.
Oh, you know,
you had a little bit of everything.
Oh yeah. I mean, and it was dark. I mean, without, you know, if you want to peel back the skin, I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
You know, I say, oh, she threw me out at 19. I mean, you got thrown out with 9 punches to the back of your head, never seen it coming. Get the hell out of my house.
Right. Right.
And then life started, you know,
people would
always ask me, you know, well, why do you think it happened? I didn't have time to ever think about why. I had to live. You know what I mean? I had to figure this whole thing out at 19 without an education and what are you going to do with life? And my brother was my best friend and my savior, you know what I mean? And we bonded together because we had to.
Right.
My wife always says you needed each other to survive the maniacal life that you were ended up living.
And you're still close with your brother?
You know what? It's interesting. Close? No. You know, not. I mean, just two incredibly, like, if my brother walked in this room right now, you'd say, get the hell, no way, dude. I mean, like, because we are just two different, you know, he's, you know, the hair halfway down his back. And, you know, my family, they were bikers, you know, my,
I was the
Maryland Munster. Like, I was the one that when you looked at this family, you're like, where did this guy come from?
Yeah,
you know what
I mean? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How did that happen? And,
funny.
And my brother, you know, my brother's a guy, he's like, he's a plot of land out in the middle of nowhere, wants to kill his food, you know?
He's great.
Oh, you know what I mean? He's that. Yeah. He's the hunter and he's a, but he's a good husband. He's a great father and he's a hardworking man.
Yeah.
He, you know, we worked together. That was my summer jobs. I was a laborer for him on a masonry crew.
Right.
Like that's what I did. And,
right.
And, you know, I seen my brother, you know, really, I seen the value of hard work from him.
Is he a funny dude?
No.
Really?
No, not a, like, funny.
That's,
I mean,
interesting.
I think it's funny in his own way, but yeah, no, my brother would never be the one. My brother was the one when I was a kid and I would come out and they would put Elvis songs on.
Yeah.
And I would be the one that would come out
and
lip sync with my thumb in
Absolutely.
Front of the family. And my brother was the one, was like my manager, and he was the one that had me in the back room.
Funny.
And he was like, this is the song you're going to do.
Colonel
Parker.
Colonel
Parker. He was Colonel Parker.
That's funny.
Colonel Parker. But no, funny in his own way, but it would never, like, when I tell him, you know, hey, listen, I did the Moth.
Yeah.
2 nights ago, and there was like 400 people, and I stood up and I told a 5-minute story about how I fell in love with my wife, and he's like, what world are you in right now?
What's wrong with you?
What the hell? Who are you? You know what I mean? So, one of those deals, but yeah, not a funny guy, but he's a good man. But yeah, we just grew apart.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you grow up and you have kids and you start living.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff happens with everybody.
Yeah.
It's always funny, too, when you have friends like that, where they get mad at you for, like, growing up.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you don't hang out anymore.
Well, that happened quick. I mean, like you. I mean, you got married young, and I was married young, and I was married and had a child, like, that quick.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Alexis was Melissa's. I adopted Alexis.
Right.
And
well,
when I came into her life,
people just don't get
that. And I remember clearly of getting that call from my boys, and they're like, "Hey, man, meet us down at Mario's Southside Festival." You know, we were running the Southside, and I look at my wife, I'm like, "Hey, you know," and she's like, "Yeah, go."
Right.
I'm even not sure if we were married yet. I think we were due to be married, and I went down there, and I remember instantly being like, "This isn't my world anymore."
I'm not.
And then that's when, you know, life changed. And the friends and everything.
Oh,
so
yeah, absolutely. Evolves. Now, I do jokes about it on stage where people are like, you want to hang out tonight? And I'm like, no.
No.
Like, if I'm on the road, like, comedians want to go hang out, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to go back to the hotel room. I always say this, like, I'm going to go watch World War II in HD on Netflix and go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't going to do nothing.
No.
Like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Here's the thing, too, when, like, you know, people are like, oh, you're an old man. You don't want to go out because you're an old man. Here's the thing. This is what I always say. I don't want to go out because I don't drink.
Right.
Unless you enjoy drinking.
Right.
Like, okay, you enjoy drinking. Like, people drinking, and, like, I don't like sitting in a bar and drinking Diet Cokes when everyone's, like, pounding beers.
Right.
And then also, I'm not going out to meet chicks.
Right.
I'm not going out to meet women.
Yeah.
So I'd rather go catch up on season 2 of Daredevil. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Why be any different than you are normally?
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? And, you know, and I think, too, like, people are like, oh, you want to hang out. But I'd rather, like, say, like, you know, one of the opening comedians in a city I'm at, you know, I don't want to go out at night. But I was like, you know what? Like, let's go to breakfast. I'll go to lunch. Or, hey, I'm going to a movie tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather do that than hang out after a show.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. It's not like I don't want to hang out with you.
Right.
We're not old dudes.
Right.
We just have different priorities now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
and there's nothing wrong with having better priorities.
No. And, I mean, and there's times now. I mean, we're like in sort of like this, people say it's like your second phase of our lives.
Because
our kids are older, and for years we never left the house.
Yeah,
I mean,
little kids.
You know, you just don't. You don't. And that's the life we wanted. That's the life we lived. And that's the way it needed to be. And so now when people are like, you know, when you're out and their kids are, my kids are calling me, when are you coming home? Like, like getting that text from my son, you know, texting, you know, where are you guys at? You know, it's just like, it's after 11.
You know, are you guys dead?
Yeah, what happened? It's after 11. And then like all the younger people that you might be with at the theater or whatever, they're like, that's so cute. You have to be the coolest parents. It's like, you know.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, how we rate cool parents, I don't know.
Yeah, you are in like that difference. Like I go to your house and it's like all tidy. It's like, you know, it is. No, well, it, but
you knew you were coming over.
Yeah, but I mean, you know
what
I mean.
Train wreck.
It's not my house.
Well, you got little ones.
Like I got a
You got a
I got a 7, a 5, and a 1-year-old.
I'm drinking out of a little tiny teacup right now.
Dude,
it's beautiful.
I mean,
I love the tea sets.
And you know, and I don't care. Like I always say, when people's houses are a little crazy, I'm like, we live here.
Yeah.
But we live here with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And but you know, all the time my wife will apologize for the house and things like that. I understand. But like I'm just like, I got 3 kids. I don't know what to tell you. No, this place is a wreck.
I can't, you blink 1 minute and it's all over. No, yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah. I mean, and that's and we all live that. You know what I mean? If you have kids and it's not like that, then there's I don't know, man. You live in your house. I mean, it's just that's the way it should be with the kids, you know.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Like I know you know, my wife will complain about it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm like, we live here.
Yeah, but it just evolves. It just evolves. I mean, it goes from yelling at the kids because they didn't pick up their toys to yelling at the kids because they didn't empty the dishwasher. It just changes. It's the same concept. It's just that the toys change.
Yeah,
like that's the battle, you know, of like,
right?
You can't do that. You're not ready. You're 21 years old.
Yeah.
21 years old. You're gonna go be a nurse in an operating room and you can't put that goddamn dish in the dishwasher? That's beyond your capabilities.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
and I get, you know, you just, what are you gonna do?
But you just have to like wait until they experience that in their own house or apartment.
Oh yeah. You sit there and you're like, God, I can't imagine what your place is gonna look like.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
And you realize very quickly, you're like, I want it to be tidy.
Yeah. I'm like, boy, I hope your boyfriend's neat. Like, I hope your boyfriend's a neat, you know.
Oh, my God.
That's a whole nother, you know, that's a whole
I don't even want to talk about that.
No, it's a beautiful thing. It really is. I mean, that's an interesting.
I can't talk
when
about
it starts, it's interesting. You know, I had talks with boys.
Yeah.
Like, I read this book about this man that sat down, and, you know, people always talk about, you know, hey, sit there with your shotgun. You let him.
Yeah, whatever.
Shut up. Here's what I want to talk to you about, son. I want to talk to you about being respectful to my daughter.
Yeah.
That's what I want you. That's what you understand.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, you're sitting down, and you're looking at a guy, and I got to the end of it, and I'm just like, okay, so you're not going to have sex with my daughter. That I said that to like a 15-year-old boy. Like I was at like because it was getting crazy in my head. Like I'm reading these books and what's going on in this world, and I was just looking at this kid, and I'm just like, are you Christian? Okay. You're not having, no, you're not having sex. And then the last one, which was just her boyfriend now, who's just an incredible young man. And just that, when we sat down and just talked for the first time, and she played it coy that we're just friends because she didn't want the talk to happen.
Yeah.
And I sit down with Johnny and we had this talk, and man, you just knew instantly that this was a good, they were always, you know, she had some couple rough patches and you dealt with them and, you know, you did everything that you could to not want to beat up another young man's father. Because what are you going to do? Like, you can't, you know, that's in your mind. Like,
oh,
my God, what are you going to do? I have to go beat your dad up on your front lawn to prove to you that you treat my daughter right. Okay. Like,
I love that. I'm going to beat up your dad.
Yeah. I got to beat your dad up. I mean, or I train my son, which was an option too.
Yeah.
Train my son, you know, little ninja
viable
action.
Backup.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
like Luke the Nuke needs to start getting some grapples down, because you never know.
Might,
she's older than him. But he's got to come
start
quick.
Some jiu-jitsu.
He's got to come quick.
He actually wants to do karate this summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want him to back.
Yeah, that's good.
I want him to do karate.
Yeah.
Do jiu-jitsu.
It's good for the discipline and, and all that good
listening
stuff.
Listening skills.
I never did anything like that.
I did like 3 years of karate.
Did
what
you?
I get up to? I don't remember, like orange or something.
They just give you belts.
Yeah,
you know, next thing you know, you got a 7-year-old kid and he's a black belt. And I'm like,
come on, I'll whip his ass.
Come on, Seagal. I can
I'll
take
whip
you
his
right
ass.
Now. I will crush
a
you.
A 7-year-old black belt?
You know what I'm saying?
I'll beat his ass.
Like, you look at that, yeah.
I'll beat his ass,
come
dude.
On. You're just paying for belts. That's what
you're
doing.
That's all you're doing.
That's all you're doing.
You're paying for exercise and belts.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I see people, they post their kid on Facebook and they're like, oh, Johnny's a blue belt. And I don't know where that ranks. I think that's good. Blue, the black. I don't know. Brown, the black. I don't know.
I got to ask. He was a guest on my podcast, good friend of mine, Jason Collings.
Okay.
Him and his brother, they taught like black belt. I mean, they're both black belts. They taught kids, I believe, karate or kung fu.
Yeah.
maybe jujitsu. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But they taught kids for years and years, and I'd be curious to see what Collings thinks.
Yeah.
Like, I want to ask him about, like, kids, like, under 10 learning. I guess it is foundational. I guess it's probably like any other sport.
It's like a participation point where you get to a certain point. You've reached you've reached this goal. I'm not going to say it's goal.
For you to be good at baseball when you're 15, you had to have been playing when you're 5.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, most really good high school athletes didn't just pick up that sport when they were 13.
Yeah, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the majority of them started young, and now they're really young now. That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, now I'm going to go back to agreeing with what we're saying is, if a 9-year-old has a black belt, I'm going to whoop his ass.
I will, yeah. I will prove a point.
If a 9-year-old is playing baseball, I'm going to whoop his ass.
I'm coming in high and tight. Yeah. I'm bringing the chin music on him.
I mean, I played ice hockey for a long time. I'll whip a 9-year-old's ass.
I'm going to brush you back. Don't play goalie, plate, son.
9-year-old ain't scoring on me. I'll beat his ass every time.
No, as an adult.
Yeah,
yeah, but I got the arthritis now, so
I got arthritis too. You know what, Jason? I got my glucosamine on deck.
I got the big Sam's Club.
I got the Willow Bark on deck.
Holla at your boy.
Oh, it's your boy, Willow Parks.
Can we get some arthritis sponsors up in here?
Can glucosamine chondroitin sponsors?
Every time I'm on.
Oh, my God.
We have to have, our sponsor's going to be some type
glucosamine
of.
Glucosamine
chondroitin. Yeah, because we're up there. It's happening. It happened.
All right, we're done.
It's real.
So, we're going to finish off with, we're going to beat a 9-year-old's ass.
Yeah.
Glucosamine chondroitin, holla at your boy.
Yeah, we need some sponsorship.
Jason. Thanks for hanging out.
That was great.
You guys are here with Jason again. When I need an episode.
Yep, I'm on deck. Like, hey, listen.
I got Jason on deck.
Jim Brewer canceled. What are you doing tonight?
Yeah. I tried to get Jim like twice and. What?
That was my Jim Brewer real quick.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I got.
I don't know. Well, we're done.
Yeah, that's
but
it.
This is a Time's quick up. Thing. So the last time I went on tour with Jim, we kept saying like, oh, let's do the podcast tomorrow. Like, and then it was like, oh, but we got to go, I got to go to TV. And then it's like, your schedule gets so silly. And then it's like, we were going to do the podcast before we did this theater show. And we had to be at theater at like, I think the show was at 8:00. And we have to be at the theater at 7:30, right? So Jim's like, hey, let's go to the theater at like 6 and do the podcast. And I'm like, that's great. Yeah, we'll do it in the green room. Of the theater, like the dressing room, really nice place. They already got water and food there. Cool. Yeah, let's do it there. That's perfect. We go there, and it's like, I'm pulling out like my microphones, and this lady's like, hey, Jim, can you come with us for a minute? He's gone for like an hour.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, I got to go open for him. I got to get on stage like in 8 minutes. And I'm like, we're not going to be able to do the podcast because I know he's got to fly home tonight. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? She came and got him. He had to do a VIP meet and greet. And like, by the way, if we didn't show up for the podcast, he wouldn't have been there.
Right, right.
He would have missed it because he forgot about it.
Oh, right.
How funny is that?
Yeah.
But anyway, holla at your boy, 9-year-old. We're whipping your asses.
We're coming for you. Us dads got some pads.
All right, Jason. We're out of here. All right, be kind, be funny, follow your hearts. That's pretty much what I say. That's about what it is. Good advice.
It is.
9-year-olds, I'm coming for you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor.
That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.